everyone. Welcome aboard. Get them on side. There's a preemptive strike. I've talked to our producers and our people behind the scenes, and we've come to an agreement. If the man to my left mentions points for a bye, you will be silenced for 60 seconds with the first offence. Second offence, 4 minutes. Third offence, he'll be dragged out. So that's preemptive strike number one.
Did you have a sneak peek at the top of my rundown here in large, large capital letters? Just what it says.
Bye points.
No.
Joel, early crow Kane.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like picking on you because I do too much of that on the show.
Play on.
But when you share tweets of listeners early crowing and we have fun with them, and then on Thursday night, Xavier Coates scores. That was my best bet. It was $1.50. I mean, it would have been a crime if he didn't score, right? And this fool says, it's our weak men tick. If that wasn't the greatest setup for a bad beat, West's Tigers had to win by 7.5, had 7.5 in their pocket, led 18-12.
Mm-hmm.
Early crow.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you weren't responsible for that debacle in the second half.
I was so relaxed about it. Hello, Dan. Hello, Shawnee. I was so relaxed about it, I actually fell asleep. We were leading 12 points to nil, and I fell asleep. So 19.5 points up, ka-ching, we're home. Young bloke, I get up in the middle of the night, and he goes, Dad, what about the Tigers got flogged? I said, say again, mate. Tigers flogged them. He goes, no, they got flogged. I said, what do you mean they got flogged? I couldn't believe it.
Still not the worst.
Sure, Norma, good morning.
Good morning. Still not the worst early crow of the weekend, though. Don't remember his name on Twitter, but tagged us all. Titans game, +6.5, and he had two try scorers in there.
Oh, he deserved to lose.
Which had both already been ticked in the first half.
Deserved to lose.
$8.50. And he said, get in the queue. And I thought, oh, no.
Instead of wasting his... And I almost did this with our bet. I was looking, when Tigers led 12-0, I looked at the live betting and pick your own line, South +7.5 for the crush. It was $3.50. I said, I'm one try away here because it'll get to $5. It'll get to anything.
Mm.
I should, obviously, at $3.50. Looks pretty good now. I did my sums and could have been a nice little bit. I thought, no, I have faith in the Tigers and I'm gonna believe that Joel didn't put a hex on our bet.
It's a game of inches, isn't it? Because they were hard on attack when Brooks threw that little short ball touched by... Don't remember who it was, but it was definitely touched. We've seen them called all year. You were having a snooze. I wasn't. Yeah. I was bloody watching with intent. Went down the other end. And as soon as that happened, I think they scored off the back of that, maybe two sets later. Complete drop of said bundle. And that was all she wrote.
So, sorry, our best bet multi, which was a good price too. You put a nice little bit of mustard on that price too.
I can feel it. This is our week.
Oh, well, good. Hey, what about this, though? Like, there is 8 billion people in this world. Oh, I reckon I'm the number one advocate for short kickoffs. Even I wouldn't have taken that kick.
Oh, my God.
That's the dumbest play I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't...
Not even I would have done that.
But you're up by 14. And Brisbane had players on the 40, obviously.
Yeah. Not even I would have done that.
What's only made it worse, the decision to take the short kickoff was bad, but then to not know the rules of what's required to then regather the ball when you take a short kickoff, that's even worse. Now, Tino, he had one of the best first halves as a forward I've ever seen until that very moment in time when he just whispered in Jermaine Azarko's ear.
Well, did he? Kickoff. Did he? I mean, he took the bullet, as a good captain should, but I'm not sure that's Tino's idea. Anyway, by the way, a bit of housekeeping. We're going on Monday next week. We're recording Monday. I assume it'll drop Monday afternoon, Monday night, because we're getting ready for Origin. So our one podcast next week is Monday, everybody. Are we all excited about that?
Can't wait.
Joel, what are we doing with the... We're indoors, for God's sake.
Yeah, here's the reason.
Here's the reason, right?
The shirt is probably not quality for TV.
Okay.
It's never stopped you in the past.
We've got a long walk, right? It's a polar blast out there. I wasn't going to walk with a bloody shirt on a coat hanger. So that's the truth behind it, okay? I'm bloody hot in this thing, to be honest with you.
What is a polar?
Than the yellow shirt.
Polar blast. Yeah, it's like a rain bomb. It's a new term we've created. It's winter. It's the 1st of June. It's the first day of winter. It's cold. Okay, we get cold weather. Anyway, let's do the main topics of the week. I'll go first. I'm going to go positive, which is rare. There's a great documentary, one of the early 30 for 30s, and it was about Jimmy Connors and his improbable run at the US Open. And 38
yes,
years old.
Great doco.
And there was a match against Paul Harhouse. He wins. He shouldn't have won, but he won. And there was no doubt the crowd had an involvement. And Mike Lupica, the great old New York writer, said, "Those fans had something you can't buy. Don't matter how much they pay for their tickets, they drove home that night thinking they actually had an influence on the result of that match." And that brings me to Payne Haas. Those 32,000 that booed him on Friday night can now forever say our booing, as I thought untasteful as it was, particularly when he's dragging blokes into the end goal and actually coming up with big plays and they still booed him, those 32,000 can say, you know what? We had an influence on Payne Haas backflipping because you could see how rattled he was after the game and the interview with Darren Lockyer.
Yep.
And then the announcement, I'm not backflipping, I'm not backflipping. I think those 32,000 can feel well proud of themselves.
Does he get booed in Origin? Is there a parcel of...
No, it's done there.
If it was in Queensland, would he get booed? If the game was in Queensland?
No, I don't think so.
That's done.
I think he's paid his penance. I think he has seen the error of his ways.
Yep.
Had he not backflipped, had he just said, oh, well, we'll deal with this another time.
I think booing at the start of the game isn't bad taste. I think...
No, I agree with that. It was just the fact it went for 80 minutes.
Yeah, it went on and on. That was probably...
And he was having a dig.
And you could tell he was up for the game as well. So probably pushed it a bit too far. I think he probably would have copped boos if it was in Queensland, I think.
Speaking about backflipping, this was beautiful. So many people on social... See, my big gripe, and this will come to my Bambi, is people who just... They feel like they're in an unlosable position and then they put the hammer down. Right, they don't put their views out early. So at half time or thereabouts, people are saying, oh, look at this, Payne Haas has hijacked the Broncos season and their cast and blah, 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 blah.
You've got to be careful.
Then they win the game.
You've got to be careful.
Then they win the game.
Got to always leave just a little bit in the tank. I used to tell young, just always say, unless things change, they're going to get flogged. Don't just say they're going to get flogged because you've got to give yourself as a...
There
as Matt
so
Damon said in Rounders, always leave yourself out.
Yes.
All right, that's me done, so feels weird to start so happy and positive.
Well, I'm not going to mention the fact we've got four games giving away 24 competition points, so I promise not to do that.
Just did.
Right? I didn't mention it.
First more. That's your one and only warning.
Yeah, how ridiculous is it? Anyway.
Doesn't affect anybody, but anyway, continue.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, my thing is the Dally M points. Now, in the past... No. Hit me out.
That's next week's warning.
No, hit me out. So you think I'm going to be negative about it. I've already done that, where I believe there should be a panel and not do it the way we do it. But that's not what I'm talking about. Everyone's blowing up about the fact we're halfway through the season. Ben Hunt is your Dally M winner. Guys, relax. Everyone relax. We're only halfway through the season. The Dragons win so far. Warriors times two. South Sydney, Newcastle, Roosters when they're plotting in round seven, and the Tigers. So he's cherry-picked points out of those games. Mm-hmm. Just relax. There's a back half of the season. There's a hard draw in front. Things will calibrate, and he's still the winner at that time.
Why is it offensive that he's in front? Like, why are people blowing up?
Because I think he's been superb.
Yeah, he has been superb.
I understand what you're saying.
But he's not been our best player
he's
in the competition.
He's scoring because he's in a bad... they're not a bad team, but because he's in the middle of a road team, any time they win, he gets points.
Yes.
That's always
been the case.
And the default for everyone is to go, well, we should do it the Brownlow's way. The Brownlow is peppered with players that haven't been the best player in the competition.
How old Rothman is
there
the
is by way of how it's actually adjudicated, it's never going to always go to the best player.
Well, this is what I've started to think, and there's no perfect system, but there's been 23 Dally M winners, including joint winners, since the NRL came in 1998. How many of those players have played in a grand final, you reckon? In other words, essentially been part of the best two teams.
In that same year?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so won the Dally M.
And played in the grand final.
Oh, well, it's got to be low by where you're taking
it. It's 10.
Oh, okay.
10
okay.
or 23.
Okay.
So I thought to myself...
It's actually more than I would
people thought. Say, the winning teams, they cannibalise each other's votes. I know it's not perfect, but I would consider, and I'd love to see the numbers...
This feels like we're getting
on
ideas.
Only the winning teams poll.
No. So you're going to take points off Tino after his performance.
Well,
Broncos.
There's no perfect result, but I'm saying
But still, Ben Hunt's going to get 3 points every time that the Dragons win.
That's right.
So we're back to square one.
We've had two or three times where a losing team's had the winning points. I don't know the perfect result, but I'd love to see the player of the year go more so to teams who are the last two teams standing.
I'd love to see... I'd love to see. Maybe we just veto exactly who's giving the points, maybe before we agree to giving them the gun. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I agree with that too. Yeah.
Okay, Sean.
Veto. Well, it'll be remiss to not discuss origin selection. A few curly ones put up, I think you'd agree. Now, a lot's been made of the Fox not getting picked. I can sort of see it, although when you go through the stats, him against Tupou, there's not much between them. Tupou's obviously got a bit of an advantage playing for a far, far superior side. But the big one for me is it might not play out like this, but Stephen Crichton on the bench, starting Jack Watton, is one of the most strange origin selection decisions I've ever seen.
Yeah, but why? Like, Jack Whiten's a utility, right? But if there's an issue, Whiten's still part of your 17. People heads are falling off about Crichton being not a utility on the bench, but you've still got the same, whether Jack starts or Whiten starts.
Yeah, but in what scenario does Crichton come on, though? It's injury. That's it.
The same scenario Jack Whiten would have come on, isn't it?
No, because you can play
back row.
Exactly. You can inject Whiten anywhere you want.
But then if you're saying that, Jack can play back row.
Yeah, then Crichton comes on, goes into the centres, and Whiten goes into the back row. I get that. New South Wales, I found the last few years have gone, here's our team, it's better than yours, deal with it. Now they're reacting to Queensland. I find that a negative attitude.
Mm.
You know, picking Tupou because they're a bit worried about... Selwyn Cobbo's played a handful of games and we're picking players to counter Selwyn. Obviously, Xavier's an issue.
They're both right wingers, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so apparently, I forget who tweeted yesterday, but they were at Queensland training. Coates training on the left wing, which means...
Coates on the left?
Yes.
Wow.
Pretty sure. I might want to just double check that. Yeah. But I think that's what they said. Cobbo won his usual right. Makes sense. He's only played, a game.
Yep.
And you wouldn't want to be swapping him. But that then means that Tupou has always been on the left. You then have to swap him out of position just to try and counteract the Coates in the air, which is the only reason that he was picked in the first place. So there's a little bit to work out. And it's not like Cobbo is a short ass. He's 6'4" as well. So how does Brian Toe go up against him? There's a little bit of contradiction in all the reasoning as to why they've gone the way they have, which is just a little bit strange. But I think it's going to be a cracking series because I can't see a lot between these two teams. And with a neutral game too, whoever gets this win...
Win game one, win the series.
It's always important, but I think...
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Becomes even
I'm
more
very confident about one particular team. Anyway, we'll talk Origin at the end of end of this podcast, and then obviously next Monday. But we've been so negative already. But they have. I've been Mr. Wonderful. Time for Bambi. I'll go first, since I'm the only one that's disciplined on this podcast. Now this is Bambi.
Please.
Oh, here we go.
Mr. Wonderful.
We haven't had a real back fence job from...
Come on, Mr. Wonderful.
The Indigenous jerseys are very nice.
Oh, wow.
But you cannot have Canberra and Parramatta looking exactly the bloody same. Now, it's countered by the fact it was an amazing game. And maybe the fact that two teams didn't know who was Canberra and who was Parramatta added to that fact. I don't know. But I don't care if it's Indigenous Rand or Mental Health Rand or Mark Hughes Rand. I don't care. You cannot have the two teams look the same. That's my baby.
Yeah, I don't mind that. You do need to get on the same page.
I did the Indigenous jersey power rankings from the weekend. Oh. I thought the Broncos was going to be near unbeatable. That was unreal. It was a real sort of rainbowy, lots of cards involved. But then that West Tigers kit was unbelievable. I know Steve, a West Tigers tragic in the background here. He'll be definitely agreeing with me. But what I want to see next year, can we scrap the sponsors for 1 week?
And don't be stupid, Sean.
No, Dan, it's 1 week. And the idea of the jersey is, about the art, is it's telling an actual story. Hard to tell a story when you've got laundry hotels, right across your chest. So would it kill them just to take one step back for one week?
Arthur Laundy, speaking of Bambis, I mean, the bloke wants to have a whinge because he's not involved in the... Buy a club, Arthur. Do it, Ross. Don't just sponsor a club. When you sponsor a club, you get your name on the jersey. That's it. Buy a club. If you really want to run the show and feel like you're involved, spend real money and do what Russell Crowe did.
Speaking about ownership of clubs, Brownie, I told you he's the best in the business.
Oh,
he's the best.
Bothers you that he's still coaching?
No, it doesn't at all. Okay. I think he is the best in the game at managing things, media, right? So there's a lot of heat on the owner about the Lodge situation.
Yep.
What has Brownie come out and done? If the player doesn't want to be here, it's the coach's fault.
Yep.
So what does that do to the owner?
Yeah,
you're in my camp, champ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Too smart. Yeah.
Too smart.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the owner did.
Yeah, well.
When it costs you 700 large to just kill off a contract, I'd love to know what he did.
Yeah.
But no, anyway, your Bambi, please.
My Bambi is a pre-Bambi. So this is what's going to happen, whether it's you're a Queensland supporter or a New South Wales supporter. My big thing is put them on the line, right? So people sit back silently, and then what will happen is, this is both people in the public on Twitter. It's also journalists where they're very, very quiet, and then the team loses, and then they give you 100 reasons as to why they got it wrong. I'm suggesting just come out on the front foot. See, for me, I would have had Burton and To'o and Luai as a combination. Their last six games conceded only one try together. That's the way I would have went. But if I'm back in the Blues, and if they get it wrong, I'm not going to be saying this is what you should have done, right? That's just what I said. That think they should have done, and I would have went Crichton the other side. I think Stags, Whiten is a risk. Valentine Holmes schooled Whiten last time they met up.
Yeah.
Valentine homeschooled Stags last time.
Yep.
But so just if you've got a strong opinion, please share it prior. So if you come out there and you go whack, 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 whack for New South Wales or Queensland, I want to check where you come and said before the game, this is the reason why.
Pre-Bambi.
Okay, I like that. I do like that. Sean Ormerod.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit negative this morning, but did we all see the warm and fuzzy Ryan Madison sort of Danica Mason revealing that he was in the 17 for the Blues on the weekend? I'm not saying
little stage for television.
I'm not saying it wasn't fully 100%, you know, true.
No.
But a little bit contrived, I think.
So
interview, I'm Danica, you're Maddo. Yeah. How does it feel? You're in the squad.
I'm on Maddo.
Oh, big Christ.
Guns.
Big arms.
Yeah.
It'd be in the vein 13.
Certainly. Oh, yeah. He'd be captain of the vein 13.
I think there's... Did I say it on this podcast or somewhere else? I think there's spray tan going on, minimum.
Ooh. He doesn't mind the camera, doesn't mind the attention. A little bit contrived.
So who was on the phone, Sean?
Danica Mason apparently had just received the media release saying
this is
the 17,
him.
And she's gone, did you know you're on the bench in the 17? And he's gone, oh no, I didn't know. I said, oh, this means a lot to me. He goes, instantly, I think of my family. And it was just a little bit,
oh dear,
a little bit pre-planned.
Was it a two-shot?
Yes.
Hmm.
But that's okay.
Hmm.
It was a wider sort of two-shot, not just Danny with his melon in there.
Okay.
He's going to be a Dolphin, isn't he?
Yeah, hasn't it been announced?
Oh, it's been announced.
I think it has been announced.
There's no shortage of forwards up there.
It's a good I know. Second rowers.
Yeah.
They love a second rower.
Yeah.
Can they actually get a halfback and a 5'8 and a hooker at some point? That was a good Bambi. More after this as we look ahead to the games.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Same game multi for tonight. Thoughts on Panthers to win 13 plus?
Well, probably not. There's a few injuries this week.
Well, we're going back. Cheers, see ya.
See ya.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet same game multi. More markets and bigger odds with Sportsbet.
Welcome back. Get them on side. Time to do the leaderboard. Middle of the road, really. Joel, 3 out of 8. You had the Panthers, the Knights, the Dragons. Sean, 4 out of 8. So that was part. Jeez, I got 5. What's going on?
Yeah. You taken the lead, have you?
Who?
In the season for the tips.
No, we're all square. Me and you.
Are we square?
Yeah, we're square. Yeah. 50 from 96. Dan, 42 from 96.
I'm 42 from 96. So
for those.
I'm minus 6. I'll take that. My tipping against the line has been so bad.
43.75%.
You'll rally.
Exact. You'll be right.
Minus 6 is gettable over the course of 13 weeks. I thought I was 15 behind.
We are 52.08%.
We'll take that every year.
Mathematicians at home.
Okay, so let's get to some of the games as we get ready for a four-game weekend.
24 points, but up for grabs. Oh,
60 seconds. Okay. Cut him down. 60 seconds. No, 60 seconds. Okay. You're out. I told you, you're on a warning. Sean, thank you. Sean, betting for this week, it's tricky. Do people tend to stay away? Obviously, they've got to load up for Origin. So is this a weekend where people keep their powder dry?
No, there's a little bit of...
just on this, all right?
You're out.
I was about to say, I hope the wifey doesn't send me a raunchy message, so I'll start again.
Leave it up there.
There we go.
Well, clearly, less games, less turnover overall. But in terms of a singular game basis, it's probably on par because the one game a day does drive a bit of... Well, yes. I've got to get involved here. Having said that, there's a couple of low games in there, but you can always find a winner. That's the beauty of it.
Okay, all right. I found a market, and this might be the weekend to hit it. The highest scoring team and lowest scoring team. Geez, you get some nice fat odds, don't you, Joel? let's start with our Thursday night game. Isn't it wonderful? We have only four games and still we have to turn up to work on Thursday. No, it's still going, Joel. Titans, Cowboys. Sean, I really think there's some bad odds this week. I think we can get you. Titans, $2.60. The Cowboys missing Holmes, Cotter, Nanai. And I think unfairly Dearden, who's the 18th man. I think this is, this has turned. Yes. Well done, you did your minute. So you got Ben Hampton at six, Tamalolo's back. Brendan Elliott, first time he's playing in Cowboys colours. He's been at the club for a while, actually. The Hammer's there. And so it's not a bad looking team. Drinkwater at one. Tino is not there for Gold Coast. Rafita is injured. In fact, I'll let you go. You haven't spoken for a while. Line is a tricky 5.5. Now, you love your Cowboys. You love Todd Payton. You're putting a fair bit of faith in them here if you think they're going to cover this line.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm guessing here. But did you see his presentation for the Origin players?
Speaking of contrived.
Yeah. No, but there's
I thought that was a bit made for camera.
Possibly was.
But they do look like a very tight unit. I'll give him credit. You picked him. You said, this guy is the real deal. He's got things really humming.
I'm getting it sucked into the goal. When they played last time this year, it was 30 points to 6, but there was two tries off kicks. There was another fluky one. I just, with zero confidence, I'm going to go to the Titans.
Yeah, this... Doesn't scream a game to me where you'd back the Titans at the plus. I think this is made up for back them head to head because they are quickly becoming one of the most untrustworthy teams to back. That's twice now they've ditched a 20-point lead in the season.
Tamalolo in, Fifita out.
Yeah.
Tino out.
Yeah.
He's going to change. We've got about a minute and a half left on this tip. He's going to change. I promise you. Yeah.
I'll be backing them. I'll be backing Titans head to head. So I'm going to tip them at the line. But I don't think. Yeah, just have a think about how you're going to play this one because there could be a few different angles.
I think clubs have to earn your trust in this situation. Like, you know, the Broncos back in the day, you sort of knew the baby Broncos would be decent, but they did that over time. You know, they had some momentous wins. I don't trust the Cowboys yet. With all those players out. Now, they may prove us wrong. It's actually a good game for them here in that this is winnable. This is very winnable. And they were admirable against Penrith. They should have been beaten by 50.
Admirable, if anything. I know they didn't cover, but I walked out of that game. And I
don't tell me your thoughts
Panthers,
for them went up.
Panthers were my best bet, but that felt very lucky to cover. The way he's got them defending...
30 tackles in a row, mate, they're legit.
I grant you that.
Yep.
I grant you that. I thought Penrith got a bit bored and Jerome Luai's kicking was shameful at the line. But I grant you that they... Look, their guts is not to be questioned, the Cowboys. But that was a 40-nil game dressed up as 22-nil.
I think they frustrated the Panthers out of their normal game style and that brought on that little, you know, sort of patch where they were clearly not, you know, what we've expected from them the last 2 years. But Cowboys... Very, very, very good.
Okay, now I've got... What do you call this the Ric Flair? the Ric Flair bet where we look at a market and try and find something about
it. It's just not the straight down the line, head to head line.
Right. Oh, it's Flair. It's about Flair.
It's a bit of Flair.
It's not about Nature Boy.
No.
Nature Boy. I've got this. Titans, we know about their halftime collapses. They're 1-3 this year when they lead at halftime.
Wow.
And obviously we can't trust them. So when I see Titans, Cowboys, Titans halftime, Cowboys full-time at $8.
Good bet, Dan.
I like the odds. Now, halftime leaders are pretty dependable this year, you know, except for the Titans. But those odds, too good to refuse. So in a game where we're kind of guessing, I just want to, you know, throw a dart and try and get some big fat odds.
Further to what you got there, Dan, so their defence has been quite good, the Cowboys. So if they are trailing at halftime, it might be by 2 or 4 points.
That's what I mean.
You've got $8 live betting about the Cowboys.
And that's how I look at it. All right, we get to Friday night football, Penrith and Canterbury. Very rarely do I WhatsApp you blokes on a Monday and say these odds are stupid, but I see their dogs have actually come in a turn or two, $3.25, Penrith $1.35. Do you all not remember how impotent Penrith were in the Origin period last year when they had Burton as the seven and he was good?
Mm.
They couldn't score points. They were blown out of the water by the Tigers at Leichhardt, if you remember. I think they lost the next week to Cronulla. And the line has blown out to 10.5. Sean, you've insulted all your fellow Doggies fans here. They are disgraceful odds against the Bulldogs, who are pretty much as normal. Okay, they're not the trendsetters of the competition, but they're playing in New South Wales, a very good New South Wales Cup side, but a New South Wales Cup side nonetheless.
Yeah, I'm actually just chatting to a couple of the guys from the training floor at the moment. Might be a little bit of internal conjecture. I'm certainly leaning the way of the Bulldogs. Some others might not be at this stage. It's a very hard game to get a read on because there's so many out. It's not the traditional, oh, one player's out, what's he worth to the line? You know, crack on. This is six of their starting 13, clearly their best six. But I am very much on the Bulldogs here. And my Ric Flair bet, so I'm tipping them at the line. It's not very Flairy because this is straight down the line, but head to head, I think is outstanding value.
Yep.
And if it was any other team, I would be all over the 13 plus here.
Yep.
The fact that they cannot...
I wouldn't have that much faith in them.
No, exactly. But if it was any other team
that has shown
something in attack...
Yeah, I wouldn't be backing them 13 plus against anyone.
This is cherry ripe. When you've got a dog that you like, 13 plus, always the way to go, except the Bulldogs. So I'm just keeping it simple. Head to head, I think, is amazing.
Now, it is at Penrith Park where it's an intimidating venue. Burton will have something to prove back home.
Fox,
absolutely. I mean, look, it's a formidable Penrith team. I don't want to insult you Penrith fans, but when you've got Kurt Falls, yes, a good young talent, but he's never played first grade, the steady hands of Sean O'Sullivan. Joel, it wouldn't shock me if Penrith won.
Of course it wouldn't.
But 10.5
is
way off the pace.
So, Sean, just before I give my tip, what have the traders valued this cohort missing? So, in other words, fully fit, what's the line in this game?
Well, I had it around 26.5.
So they're valuing 16.5 points, this mob being out.
Which I'd, and again, very, very tough, and it's an opinion-based thing. I think it's worth more than that, hence my lean towards the Bulldogs. And the thing about, yeah, they're all serviceable players that come in, but O'Sullivan was really good at the start of the year. Luai next to him, Isaiah Yeo, still doing his thing in the middle.
Yep.
Toto, well, he might have missed at the start of the year. But anyway, you get my point. It's when you remove all of them, you're removing a nucleus from them, and they're just not going to get the same service that they would otherwise get.
Yeah. The sequel, Top Gun, if Tommy Cruise ain't there, it ain't happening, right? So when you take the big stars out, I'll tell you this. So
I've got a comment about
last
you
year,
and Top Gun.
Yep.
Hang on. No, I'm going to go now.
Go now.
Did you watch it at home?
Yeah. The old one.
What? Oh, the old one.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you ordered it on Apple TV or something. You have to watch,
of course,
Top Gun Maverick at the cinema. In fact, I would recommend, and I'm not sponsored by Event Cinemas, but they had this thing called 40X, where the seats rattle and the mist comes. Sean, I know it sounds gimmicky.
Bit gimmicky.
No, I'm telling you,
really?
When the plane is doing these ones and you're riding it, I'm telling you.
No, Dan, I made the kids watch it because they clearly haven't watched the movie, loved it, and then we're primed to go and watch the real one. But here we go. So you mentioned the State of Origin period. Yes, they lost both those games. And on the podcast last year, exactly 12 months ago, ahead of round 13, my comments were, we are disrespecting the kicking game of young Cleary. We're disrespecting the link game of Isaiah Yeo. Last year, three games without Cleary and Yeo. They lost 26-6 to the Tigers in Origin period, 19-18 to the Sharks in Origin period. But this is the big one. Later in the year, not Origin period, they got flogged 37-10 against the Melbourne Storm. Those numbers alone, I've got to be on the Dogs.
All right, so we're all on the same page there. And Sean's Ric Flair bet is Dogs head-to-head. Can I just say this? NRL, did you not see those scenes at Belmore? We got to get Canterbury back to Belmore, okay? Put some money into it if you have to. This idea of spending $400 million at Penrith is a joke. Don't get me started on stadiums again. That's sort of, I'm going down your path of buy for 2 points. You're going to have to put a clock on me. Penrith does not need a new stadium.
I don't think it does either.
I tell you what, I was speaking with someone about it.
What's wrong with what? I was there on Friday.
It's a good start. Unless you're gonna make it all weather or something, there's no point knocking down the trotting track next door.
It's working right
now. That's going to cost you 50. Here's what you do. You can't do anything with the northern end because you got, is it High Street? You got that street. The southern end, put a big stand up there like Manly with the Bob Fulton stand.
Correct.
Okay. So you can get in an extra 3, 4, 5. Make it as big as you want because it backs onto the cricket oval.
Correct, Amundo.
And now you've got a 25,000-seat stadium. The people clearly like that ground. People, they fill it every week. It's a good ground. It's nearly all seen now. So spend $100 million on
that. You don't even need a 25, Dan, honestly. Like, they're up and about. There was 17,000 first, third the other day, right? And they've been winning for 2 or 3 years.
I get
What's going to happen when, you know, they're not going to win forever.
I get
what
that.
What they've got's enough.
I get that, but what I'm saying, okay, if you're going to put money in, put $80 million, $100 million, and spend some of that $400 million
at Belmore.
At Belmore,
yes, correct.
I mean, we're talking about Leichhardt. We're going to redo Leichhardt. Great, they play 3 games a year there. The Canterbury fans are crying out to go back there. They've got an awful team, and 17,000 filled that joint.
Awesome.
Next game.
Just if you want another Ric Flair bet, because rugby league loves stories. The Fox to score 2 or more could easily happen.
Okay.
Are you with me there?
Don't mind it. Shug.
Manly versus Warriors is our Saturday night game at Four Pines Park. And the Manly side doesn't look bad. $1.54, $2.50. The Warriors, my God.
Oh.
Well, they make Saturday afternoons entertaining. I'll give them that. Manly missing Daly Cherry Evans, and that's it. So I think it's a formidable Schuster foreign combination. Warriors welcome back Wade Egan and Bailey Sirenin, but they're on a losing streak. Manly's not going well either, by the way. They're 5-7, but here's the thing: at Brookie, they're 3-0. Everywhere else, they're 2-7. So that's enough for me. 4.5, Sean, looks a bit skinny.
Certainly not enough for me either. It was 3.5 yesterday, so it's just a couple of points. I'd be shocked if it doesn't keep going. I think it jumps at least maybe 6.5 or 7.5. So if you want to back Manly with us, get on now. Sean Johnson, I think it's time that he just gets the ticket to the Super League and just least 1 or 2 years.
Oh dear.
It's a little bit borderline tough to watch, the way, just how bad he's going at the moment. Whether he's injured, there might be something else to play, I'm not sure. I've got them the worst rated team in the competition now by a decent length. Have to be on Manly.
But worse than Canterbury.
Yeah.
Okay.
My tip for the Spoon this year, and people were scoffing at it. They had a few cheap wins, didn't they? Tigers should have beaten them that no try. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that path. But I'm with you. I have to go Manly. To be honest with you, Josh Schuster hasn't yet won me over. I know there's big raps on him.
He's got to get the no-look pass out of his game.
The
highlight reel stuff, it's not worth, the risk-reward's not there.
He's not a bona fide in 4 or 5 years star of the game at this point, and I hope he proves me wrong. But I'm on Manly. Ric Flair, am I going to go to Ric Flair now?
Go for it.
Ric Flair. Warriors right edge is the worst in the comp. This time last week, we tipped back those left-sided players. Fitzgibbon, who didn't score. Inari Tuala scored two. Edric Lee scored one. So we just got to go back to the well. Ric Flair, I'm going to go these two blokes. We assume Tupolotto's on the left, isn't he? Saab will go back to the right.
He'll go, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you think so.
So both these guys, the left centre and the left winger for Manly, same game, Moldy, $5.
Okay. Ooh, fat.
All right. Morgs.
Can you put a power plate? You can. You can put a little power plate, can't you, on the same game multi. Very nice. All right, we go to the fourth game of the weekend, the last game of the weekend. It's Canberra versus the Roosters. This is the best game of the weekend, I think, by far. Canberra, no Whiten, no Papali'i, but the Roosters, no Teddy, no Tupo, no Lindsay Collins. But they still have Walker and Keary. Suwali has been named, but he was Category 1 knocked out, so I wouldn't be counting on him playing, but we'll wait and see. Forward pack is pretty much, well, without Collins, but still looks pretty good. Slight favourites, the Roosters here. Joel, 3.5 is the line.
Yeah, last 4 weeks, Tupu and Tedesco, last 4 weeks have combined for 1,600 metres. That's 400 metres a game you need to replace. I'm going to tip Raiders on the fact that I think Suwali won't play. If he does play, I might be in a bit of trouble. And they've also combined for 10 tries in the last 4 weeks. So that's a lot to cover, as well as a stack of bloody tackle busts. Sebastian Chris, he's in a bit of a form at the moment, 4 tries in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a bit of captain obvious about this statement, but Teddy's obviously a huge out, and I don't think DeMarcus probably put enough on it. I think this is a toss of the coin job. So,
are the outs for Roosters as big as the Raider outs?
That's what I'm thinking.
It's about the same,
but it's not.
I think Canberra's
are worse.
Yeah.
Because I think so much of their game is the 1-2 punch of Papali'i Tarpany. Now, Tarpany will probably end up running 230 metres. He's having a very underrated season.
Warsburg's going good.
Oh, yeah, the big red's going good as well.
Well, he's in the front row, so he's got some responsibility.
I think the weight of Teddy out tips it for me in their favour. So I think there's probably a little bit more upside in Canberra. And I thought they were good last week. And at home, a bit of a different side. I think I have to be on them.
They've had a month where they've been up. They've been great, Canberra. Frawley and Fogarty, the combination of... They're sort of a bit of same-for-same, isn't it?
Not ideal.
They're organiser. So I think that might be a slight issue. Look, at 3.5, it's a toss-up. You basically, I think you pick your head-to-head and you go with that with the line. So I'll go with Roosters, but without a lot of faith. But, Sean, I'm looking here at your Ric Flair.
Yeah, Ricardo.
Excuse me.
Oh, it's all up.
We'll have to cut that out as well.
I hope there's more winners than phlegm on this.
You said don't use that word.
Ricardo Flair for me, I make it closer than what the betting is here, so I think there's value in going for a margin. Raider certain plus.
Oh.
Raider haters, he's put to bed. He will never be seen again. Success with it a couple of weeks ago.
5 from 5 at GIA, 1-12 games.
Well, there you go. So I'm trying to buck that little trend. Mm. But when I like an underdog,
pricked that balloon, didn't you? Jeez. He's coming in off the long run and you've just walked away from the crease. sorry. You'll have to do it all again. Oh, here's a stat. Canberra have scored the first try in 5 straight games.
Is that right?
Yes. Ooh, there we go. There was one stat I just had.
I like it. prick balloon.
That's it.
Very deflated after that.
So, by the way, Trey Mooney, good player.
Oh, good.
Good player. I don't know how much game time he'll get, but he is a good, hard-running forward. We're going to have our best bets right after this. Now, this is where we normally do last week's winners, but I think we've made Joel suffer enough. We've hammered him a bit today, so...
Accountability, Dan. I did
say, I know.
I said at the start of the year, I said, we should have any two of the three. famous last words.
Okay.
I can't buy one.
I think it's fact, anxiety is at its highest in the morning. Now, last night, really? My best bet was going to be... Yeah, it's true.
Because not many people drink in the morning.
Highest scoring team of the weekend, I think, is a beautiful bet, Manly, $5.60. So I put that in our WhatsApp group, and then I said, I'll wait till the morning because I knew I was going to wake up, anxiety. I can't do that to the team. Well, that's a big shot at the stumps.
Yeah.
So I still like that bet. Although Fox have called me in to call that on TV.
So it's Penrith the favourites.
I think so, yeah.
And Now, it's annoying because the Bulldogs, $19, the Bulldogs' highest scoring team of the round. Now, just
Cowboys, $11, lowest scoring team of the weekend.
Would you please?
Although it is the Titans they're playing. So my best bet now is Dogs at 10.5.
Yep, good
so
bet.
Straight up,
like it.
Line betting, $1.90, Dogs with the line, just to get us off and running.
It's our week then. the right edge for the Warriors is Tupelotu. Any time try scorer.
Okay, so I like that. So you've gone Tuipulotu and Harper in the Rick
Flair. So you know what happens
gets
here.
A bat on
you
it.
Know what happens here.
Yeah, Harper scores, Tuipulotu doesn't. But okay,
I don't mind this. So we're in the same game here.
Can I just say, that is a very good price for a winger against the Warriors
on the left hand side.
Ever since Sean has gone over to the PR side of the company, the odds have just gone very strange.
And Ruben Garrick is a fullback, as a non-natural fullback, much rather than going right to left.
All right. Take us home, Sean.
Well, if that does win, then hopefully it gives my best bet a little leg up as well. I'm on Manly, -4.5 here. Certainly jumps bigger. I can't see a world in which anyone would be backing the Warriors here. So I think if you like us, we're all in agreeance. We like Manly. Get on early. Don't worry about it. I think that's a cracking bet.
All right. Hopefully it doesn't shrink the bet. The
a little bit related, much. But that doesn't matter.
There we go. Don't say it. Don't you dare say a word when the Dogs cover on Friday night. Okay, Origin time. As I said, we're back on Monday, so we'll do a full analysis. Man of the match is up there. First try scorer, last try scorer, all the funky bets that we like getting involved with. Blues $1.60, Queensland $2.35. That's not only head-to-head, but that's also the series betting, Sean. And saw in my email box, Sean Ormerod, money for the Maroons. First game, obviously, at the Dewey Accor Stadium.
80-odd% of money is on Queensland early, Dan. You would have known that if you open your emails, which I don't think you do. And you mentioned the Dew. Now, we're going to go full dissection of this game on Monday, so I won't go through it in too much detail. But game one, totals, there's 36.5 on the board now. You have to ignore last year, but there was Turbo in the form of his life, Latrell. There was 56 points in that game.
And also six again rule.
Six again, and it was in Townsville.
Yes.
Perfect conditions. Prior to that, 32, 32, 34, 32, 10, 21, 20, 20, 28.
Oh, these are game ones?
Game ones
only.
Always
defensive.
Always defensive. No one wants to lose the game. They're not too worried about winning, just don't want to lose. So expecting a lot more of the same. We'll do the full breakdown on Monday, though.
Okay, all right. All right, and series betting.
You said you're very confident about one team.
No, I like Queensland.
Oh, right.
I like Queensland.
Series.
Well, I think they'll win game one. Oh, sorry. I think they'll win game three, no matter what. Dead rubber. It's at Suncorp because I think they're too evenly matched. So you give them the Suncorp advantage, I think they win there. So all I need them to do...
Win the third.
Yeah, win the third. So all I need them to do is win either here or in Perth. I think they can pinch one of those games minimum.
And barring a catastrophe in game one with a result, it looks like it's going to be a toss-the-coin job in Perth. If we're looking at these odds and use that as a guide, it looks like there's just home advantage in this one. So,
and Harry Grant off the bench could absolutely... Now, if it was the six-again rule, like, oh, my God, what he could do off the bench in a six-again situation, but I still think he might have a big influence. Anyway, that's it. We're done. Thank you very much. We will see you next Monday. Thank you, Shauno.
Thank you.
And Joel Kane, famous last words.
Yes, famous last words coming right up, Dan. Take a sec before you bet. Set a deposit limit regardless of the bookmaker which you use. And a bit of a congratulations to those eight teams who didn't play and you've got 2 points. Well done.
I had to do it.
Gamble responsibly.